It's significant that near the end of our Lord's earthly life, when he begins to sum things up, he talks about the kingdom of God using the image of a wedding. A bit of background information might help. Weddings at the time of Jesus included as much excitement and anxiety as in our own day. Guests would gather first at the home of the bride. The guest and the bridesmaids and the bride would wait for the groom to arrive. When the groom arrived with his men, the guest and the bridesmaid would process to his house where his parents were waiting to celebrate with a feast that would last several days. And the bridesmaids carried torches or lamps to lead the parade to the groom's house for the party. Well, as Jesus tells the story, evidently the groom is delayed. He's late, really late, midnight late. You can imagine the anxiety. You can imagine the gossip. You can imagine the anger. Finally, a sense of relief. But who wants to eat meatballs and rigatoni at 1 o'clock in the morning, much less holubki at 2 o'clock in the morning? No amount of Tums would settle your stomach at that time. Jesus concludes the parable with the instruction, stay awake, you don't know the day or the hour. Now, why would he tell such a parable? Well, today's second reading gives us a reason why. The early church expected Jesus, who came among us, who suffered, died, and rose again, and ascended into heaven, was going to return with glory and majesty. And they expected him to return during their lifetime. That didn't happen. And so Jesus needs to tell them, you don't know the day or the hour. You can't predict the day or the hour. So stay awake and pay attention. Their mission was to wait patiently, to live faithfully, courageously, but to also live with hope. We as Christians, as Catholics, are still waiting for Christ to come again in glory. Our mission is the same mission of the early church. We are to wait patiently, to live faithfully, courageously, and to live with hope. Our faith includes the conviction that human history, our lives, have a purpose, a goal, a destiny. And we are moving towards that goal. Ultimately, it involves a new heaven and a new earth and our sharing in our Lord's glorious resurrection. We are waiting for, we are expecting to one day enter what we sometimes describe as a heavenly Jerusalem, an eternally festive celebration of glory and gladness. And our hope is not a fantasy. And as we gather to celebrate the Eucharist and we listen to that parable, we sometimes presume that we have all the time in the world. But we don't. And so now is the time to stay awake. Now is the time to be prepared. Prepared to mend broken relationships. Prepared to offer a word of apology or gratitude. Prepared to deepen our relationship with God. While we wait, we are also to be prepared to replace a bad habit with a good one. Prepare to spend a bit more time with an elderly parent or relative. Prepared to allow Christ to heal a wounded heart before that heart stops beating. And our participation in the Eucharist is a type of sampling of what we're waiting for and hoping for. The one we are waiting for is with us now as food and drink. He prepares us to be prepared. And when we're prepared, we tend to live with less anxiety and we tend to sleep more peacefully. Here, the groom, Jesus Christ, is present with his bride, the church. Each one of us will one day fall asleep in death. But we are able to do so calmly because we live with the hope of glory and gladness. We grieve when a loved one dies, but we grieve differently. We grieve with the hope and expectation that we will one day see each other again in the glory and gladness of heaven.